We are celebrating the table of our Lord this morning. All of you are invited to come at the invitation of Jesus. All those who seek to live at peace with God and also seek to live at peace with one another are invited to come and to receive communion at the table of God that has been set before us. And again, thank y'all for preparing our hearts and our souls and our minds for this moment when we can celebrate. I want to invite you into a scripture reading that is in the New Testament. So the letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, this 2 Timothy chapter 1, will begin at verse 3, continue through verse 7. I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Living Translation. You'll see it abbreviated as the NLT. You do not have to follow along with that translation. You can follow along with your favorite. But that is what you'll see this morning. Is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. And through almost magic, it does appear. I do invite you into this. Timothy, I thank God for you. And again, this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing a letter to Timothy. But Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. And then in verse 5, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the fate that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. And this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we do give you praise, and we also in this moment will give you thanks for your holy words that you have spoken to us. We thank you, O God, for the genuine faith of people like Paul and Timothy. We thank you for those, O God, who have given of their gifts to offer these words for us. And we pray and ask that as our hearts come together in this moment, Lord, that you may speak into each of our hearts. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have shared with me. I pray and ask that as I speak this morning, that the words that I share that will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Well, these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and the one who saves us. Amen. Now, how many of you have ever had a moment, and you certainly don't have to admit it, you don't have to raise your hand or anything like that, but how many of you have ever had that moment where you've overstayed your welcome? You know, you just kind of hung in there and you've just kind of stayed around. And you know, I mean, we know what that feeling is when we do overstay our welcome. We know when it's time for us to just get up and go. And for me, I will tell you that one of the earliest moments that I remember overstaying my welcome was my kindergarten Sunday school classroom. I had an amazing teacher, of course. I mean, if you've got a wonderful teacher, you're going to overstay your welcome no matter what. I had an amazing kindergarten teacher. It was at Tarrant Church of the Nazarene that was there. And she taught me, and she taught me and my friends. And then we had this wonderful moment as we spent a year with her in kindergarten, going through everything that she was opening up and sharing with us about the Bible. And we had this wonderful moment. How many of you have done this? If you were a child that was in Sunday school, have any of y'all ever had promotion Sunday? A time that you come forward and a time that everybody that is in kindergarten, what happens next? You don't have to stay. You don't have to stay there. And it was really exciting for us. I mean, it was really exciting because we had nursery and kindergarten and everything that was on this part of the church. But then as you moved up, I just told our board this. The administrative council just a couple of weeks ago, I was sharing this with them. But you got to go upstairs. And so that's what it is. And so not only are you getting to go upstairs, but you get to go upstairs with your friends because you're all progressing on. Only thing is for me is that when I was in Miss Carr's kindergarten class, I decided to say, you know what? Not going to go upstairs. It was promotion Sunday. My friends are going upstairs. Everybody else is leaving. I said, you know what? I'm going to stay in Ms. Carr's kindergarten class, and a lot of you, because you've known me for a couple of years now, you're starting to say, oh, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense, because he did. He took that extra year in his kindergarten Sunday school class. But I stayed behind. I stayed behind and really overstayed my welcome, and then I spent another year, and then my mom, as well as some other folks, said, yeah, you're really going to go upstairs. You're really going to go up to the big class right there. But the reason it was not just that I didn't want to leave Miss Carr. It was not just that, you know, that I wanted to stay around, but I was afraid. I was really afraid to go from her class and to go upstairs. You know, the promise that had been made to me, because my mother worked in the office at the church there, and so the promise was that I'm in this class, my mom is just right down the, she's just right down the hall, but you know, to go upstairs when your mama's still on that first floor, that's really hard. That's really hard to make that shift and make that transition. But I did. It was the first moment, it was that first moment that I really did, that I overstayed my welcome that was there. And I was afraid. She was the best teacher in the world. She was certainly the best Sunday school teacher in the whole world. But we are in this season of Lent. It is a season of 40 days that is leading us to the celebration of Easter. And as we come closer and closer to Easter, part of this journey of Lent, part of what we do in this journey of Lent, is that we talk about fasting. And consider in fasting how we are able to fast and how that is able to make some room in our lives, to create a little bit more space that maybe we do take for granted in other seasons of the year. And so as we do this and as we commit ourselves to really try to make some room in our lives so we can draw closer to God, we may consider fasting. We may consider fasting from chocolate. We may consider, examining our lives and maybe fasting from some of those negative habits that we know that we should not be doing, that we know that we should be breaking anyway. But what about this? What about that shift that I was trying to share with you earlier? What about that? What would it look like if we fasted from fears? What about those things that do hold us back each and every day because we are too afraid to move on? What about those things that we're just too afraid, that we hold on to, that we cling to so tight, that we're just too afraid to let go of? What happens? What happens when we are too fearful or so fearful about what might happen tomorrow or might happen next week or might happen next month if we really let it happen, that it paralyzes us in the place that we find ourselves, that it paralyzes us in the present moment? Have you ever noticed throughout Jesus' life with his own disciples, have you ever noticed those moments that he would invite his own disciples to take a look at birds, to consider flowers in a field? Have you ever noticed those times that Jesus would invite his disciples to slow down and to notice those rocks or that dirt that is just right under their ground? And all that time reminding them, well, your Heavenly Father, that is that God, your Heavenly Father, is caring for the soul, is caring for the birds, is caring for the flowers that grow and they sprout up, and inviting them to imagine how much more God cares for them and their lives. You see, a lot of times we find ourselves in the church and we're really quite comfortable, especially when we talk about fasting, we're really quite comfortable talking about fasting from food, but we feast on fear. We feast on the fears that, well, a lot of times do have a detrimental effect on our lives and really do hold us back. We've already shared it. We've already shared it in our prayer requests. Jesus warned us about that. Fears about wars. Fears about even rumors of war. Because how many of you have known, how many of you, as we do, wake up, unless you were at 2:30 a.m. following the president extraordinarily close and you knew the moment that there were attacks. But how many of you have heard? How many of you have heard that there may be possible attacks? How many of you have known that there was buildup in the Middle East? But at times in church, even being afraid of change, even being afraid of the future, imagining what it would be if we said that this is going to be a Lent, that we are going to fast from fear. And we all know what the Bible says. I was sharing it because I want them to know. I was sharing it with our children this morning. But we know what 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 reminds us. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Some of you were even shaking your head when I was sharing it with our children. Some of you know these words. Some of you have heard these words. Some of you probably have some of these words memorized. I'm sure that in some of your Bibles, if you do, if you're not so timid, I'm sure some of you have underlined it. I'm sure that you have taken highlighters to highlight these verses. God has not given me a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. We may highlight, we may underline that God has not given us a spirit of fear. But how do we do it? How do we fast from fear? How do we fast from fear, especially when it seems that fear is all around us? Well, we start. We start when we do that very thing that Jesus often does with his disciples and what Paul has discovered in his own life with Jesus and what Timothy has discovered and the faith that he has seen lived out in front of him. We do what Paul is inviting Timothy to do in this very section of Scripture. Notice that as Paul is writing to Timothy, He makes this connection between fear and timidity. Did you see that this morning in these scriptures as he's writing this letter? He tells him, he says that God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. But he makes this connection. You see, for Paul and also for Timothy, fear in the Greco-Roman world implied being a coward. That is the day-in, day-out understanding of what fear. When you heard fear, you would also hear, well, that means that you're kind of being a coward in this very moment. Or being timid. It was this idea that what happens is that fear is somehow causing us to stay in the same place. And fear is causing us to be stuck where we are. It's a direct connection between cowardness and also timidity. So in other words, feasting on fear would mean for Paul and Timothy, and it also means for us because it's the way that God has created us. It means that feasting on fear means being timid. While on the other hand, fasting from fear creates moments of strength. And we all know this. Well, we may not. We may not know that background. We may not know that tradition that Paul and Timothy share, but how often have you heard that phrase, don't let your fears hold you back? I mean, that lives well outside the life of the church. That lives throughout us as a culture. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't let those fears get in the way. How many times do we try to teach our children, you know, they're more afraid of you than you are of them. I still try that with my teenagers, but yeah, they say, I hate when you say that, Dad. They've kind of reached that level where they know, because we do. We know how strong fear is in our lives. We know how quickly fear can paralyze us. We also know how quickly fear can overtake us. But I think one of the great gifts that we have in this exchange between Paul and Timothy, and Paul, who is inviting Timothy to embrace this faith in God that is able to overcome fear and also being timid. I think one of the great gifts that we have is that when we fast from fear, that when we don't give fear that life in our own lives, that actually we discover that we can lean into some strength and have the chance to leave our own timidness behind. And it very much is. It's the same for our children as it is for every single one of us. That is the spirit that God has given us. A spirit where we are able to overcome fear, overcome timidity, and a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline that is able to really rule and take control of our lives. And so I think that one of those things that we had to first do is exactly what Paul is inviting Timothy to do, is to pause and recognize that when we do, that when we lean into our fear, we're actually giving up a lot of strength that God has given us. We're actually giving up a lot of our courage that God has truly given us. But it's one thing. It's just one thing to have all the knowledge and have all the information And while a little learning is able to go a long way, how do we stop it? How do we stop fear in the moment? How do we do that? How do we grab on, and how are we able to pause that fear that can quickly sneak up on us? How do we actually practice this fasting from fear, to put it in our traditional Lenten language? How do we do this? Well, this is again what Paul does, where he reminds Timothy of his own faith. And did you notice one of the reasons I wanted to use the New Living Translation? Did you notice where he invites Paul, where he invites Timothy, where Paul invites Timothy to embrace this genuine faith? His own genuine faith. You know, that's one of the things I love about Christianity, is that when we do, when we come into a place like this, and when we come together like this, I love it as we come together in groups. I love it when we come together on one-on-one times like this, because we're all on journeys of faith. That's one of the things about us, that God has created each one of us uniquely, that God has given each one of us a purpose and a call in our own lives. And so we find ourselves all on these journeys of faith. This is what makes faith genuine and personal, because we have not only learned to experience a genuine faith with learning, teaching, and this more and more information, but we actually get to live it out. We get to live it out in front of each other. We get to live it out together. We get to see not only just my journey of faith, but I get to see your journey of faith. You get to see my journey of faith. And it expands and it expands. So one of the great gifts, I think, that Christianity gives us, and we all know this, we all know that there are many more things in our lives that as much knowledge and information as teaching as we have, we know a lot of it. A lot of it is more cult than it is taught. We know that a lot of it, that we experience it from other people, that we see it lived out in other people that have loved us much like family. For Timothy, it was. For Timothy, it was his grandmother. It was his mother. First, it was his grandmother Lois who had this genuine faith. Then, in his mother Eunice, it was this genuine faith. And now, Paul reminds him, and now this genuine faith that has come alive in you, Timothy. And can't you, because I do, can't you just hear Paul wanting to shout to Timothy in this letter? These women that are around you, Timothy, your mother and your grandmother, they never feasted on fear. They never feasted on this fear. Don't you just hear him wanting to share that with Timothy, that God has given you a spirit where you don't have to be afraid, where you don't have to be timid? Feast on genuine faith. Feast on a genuine faith that you first saw lived out in the lives of those women that have loved you with their very whole hearts, Timothy. And while I recognize that as we come together and as we come into this season of Lent, I recognize that fear may not be on the top of your list for Lent, but I do want to encourage you that as we see Paul and Timothy, and as we see our own friends and our own family, I want to encourage you that as we're traveling these 40 days of Lent, and as we do, try to seek to do what matters most in our lives, I want you to imagine the possibilities that fasting from fear, imagine the possibilities of fasting from fear, what that could do in your life, what that could do in our lives together, as we do sit in the midst of all of those things that we have to be afraid of. I genuinely appreciate the prayer request that says pray for our country. On the way to church this morning, one of my children in the car says, "Dad, are we at war?" And it's one of those questions that we don't want to hear. It's one of those questions that we don't want to answer. But there are a lot of people that look to us, the people that have graduated from the kindergarten class and are now in the big class. You see, children's church is happening right across the way. We're the adults. They look to us. And they very quickly recognize when we're afraid. They very quickly recognize when fear is taking over our lives. And they want to know. They want to know not only the verse that they are going to write out, they want to know not only the verse that they are going to draw and they're going to have colors around, but they want to know, is this really true? That God has not given you a spirit of fear and timidity, but that what God has truly given you is the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Because what fear and timidity can really do in our lives is it can reveal us as cowards. That's what the language of the first century Greco-Roman world would suggest. Not even the Christian world, but well beyond the Christian world. Is that fear and timidity, that's the way a coward acts. Catches up with us. It limits us. And it limits us and disrupts what God is truly calling us to do. Even in this season of Lent, journeying to what matters most, it can be tempting to overstay our welcome. Fasting from food while feasting on fear. Overstaying our welcome. Staying behind in the kindergarten class. Missing the big kids class. And so I want to invite you. I want to invite you to consider, what is one fear? What is one fear that is keeping you from living your calling that God is placing before you? Just one. Just one fear. Because keeping a holy Lent, coming together in this season of Lent and keeping a holy Lent with a genuine faith is when we get really specific. So what is that one fear? What is that one fear that is keeping you from living your calling? And what is going to be? What is going to be your next courageous step? Because that is what is wrapped up in this power and this love and this self-discipline that Paul is inviting Timothy and also inviting us to experience today. So what is that one fear? And then if we don't do it in Lent, it's a good chance we won't do it the rest of the year either. But where are we getting specific in our spiritual lives? Where are we noticing that one fear that is holding us back? And what's going to be that step of courage? What's going to be that courageous next step that God is inviting us to take so that we are able to do the will and the purpose that God has for our lives? Let's bow our heads. We thank you, O God, that in the midst of seasons in our lives, we're thankful, O God, for your clear call that you give to us. And we are grateful this morning, O Lord, that you have certainly not given us a spirit of fear. We ask you, O God, to forgive us for those times when we let fear and being timid, when we allow those to overcome and overwhelm our lives. Well, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, O God, that in those things that we fear, and in that one thing that we fear, we pray and ask that you will give us enough courage to overcome it in this moment. We pray and ask that your Holy Spirit may vanish that fear from each of our lives, and that you will let us live, O God, into the power and into the love and into the self-discipline, the very spirit that you have promised is available to every single one of us on this day. We pray, we ask this together in the name of Christ Jesus, the Lord, our Savior. Amen.